I'm not going to spend much time talking about myself right now. I'll wait until 4 o'clock to give you more information about myself. But I do want to thank you for the opportunity to come today and to consider some things that are so vital to our walk with God. And I appreciate Justin leading these songs because my lesson today is about the assurance that we have as believers. And just like we talked about this morning, out in the world, our faith is going to be challenged. There's going to be a lot of people and a lot of forces that are going to try to move you away from that solid rock that we have sung about. There's going to be people who are going to try to ridicule you. They're going to try to belittle you. They're going to try to make you feel like you're some kind of a simpleton because you're a Christian. Like we talked about this morning, the reality is it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe in God. But today, as we consider our lesson together, I want to talk with you about the assurance of the believers. And if you are considering the book of 1 John, you need to understand as you look at that book that John is writing about what I just said, that there were people during that period of time that were challenging the believers. And specifically, there was a teaching that was bombarding the Christians and the church at that time that was known as Gnosticism. And Gnosticism, one of the things it taught was that the flesh is innately sinful, and that there's a distinction between the flesh and the spirit. And so you can go out and you can live however you want. You can sin in the flesh, but still be justified in the spirit. And then another element of Gnosticism taught that there was a mysterious body of information that you needed to have in order to be saved. Well, some of that teaching was kind of challenging and rocking the faith of some of the Christians during that period of time. And so one of the things that John is doing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is trying to assure and reassure the believers of their salvation. I want to look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 through 6 and think about that as we think about what John was trying to accomplish. Now, the text that I'm using today is the New King James Translation. So if you have a different translation, it may read somewhat differently. But in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 beginning, he said, "Now by this, notice, we know that we know him." You can know that you know God, he said. You see, these people were being challenged. Do you really know God? Are you really saved? And those are the same questions sometimes that challenge us. But John wrote here in verse 3 that you know that you know God. And here's how you know that you know him. Verse 3, if we keep his commandments. And the one who says, "I know him," and does not keep his commandments. Think about that Gnostic teaching. Oh, I can go out here and violate these laws of God. I can sin and still be justified because I'm sinning in the flesh and not in the spirit. But John says, no, the one that says they know God, but does not keep his commandments, that individual, he says, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And then he goes on in verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him, and by this, by what? By keeping his word, by this, we know that we are in him. Verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So if someone says to you today, do you know God? Do you have to wonder? Do you have to kind of sit back and think, well, I think I know him. John says you can know that you know him, and the way that you know him is the fact that you are keeping his commandments, and the one who keeps his word, he says, by that we know that we are in him. Don't let anyone rock your faith. Don't let anyone rock that confidence that you have in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We see that the Holy Spirit assured these brethren, these Christians, that as these Gnostics were saying, well, you need some more information, the Holy Spirit was assuring these brethren, no, there's nothing added that you need. You've received all of the truth. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. You know, there are some of our religious people, our friends out there, who are saying, well, yeah, the Bible's important, but you also need this book. The Bible's important, but you need to know this also. And God, through his Spirit, says no. God says, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. We don't need anything else. We have the complete, fulfilled word of the Lord. And then John encourages them. You know God, you're walking in him, and you need to continue to walk in him. First John chapter 1, verse 24, therefore let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, notice what he says, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And so he's telling them, you can know that you know God. And the way you know God and know that you know him and that you are in him is by keeping his commandments. And if you continue to do that, if you abide, if you walk in his commandments, he said, you will abide in the Father and in the Son. But what I want to focus on today is something else that John assures them of. And that is that John, by inspiration in this epistle, gave these brethren the reassurance that they possessed the eternal life that was provided through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to challenge you to think with me today about this. When I bring this up, a lot of times people get on the edge of their seat and they get really nervous because they think that Fred's going off the deep end. And Fred's going to go off and he's going to teach something like once saved, always saved. I'm not going to suggest anything like that. But what I am going to do is I'm going to show you that God tells you, and he tells me, that if you and I are Christians, that we have eternal life, and we have it now. And I'm going to use as a springboard for our consideration of this, I'm going to use chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And I want you to pay close attention to what John wrote and realize that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This isn't just John writing, but John is being guided, as we know, that all Scripture is inspired of God. It's God-breathed. It has its origin with God. And so God is the one that is guiding John to write this. And this is what God inspired John to say. He said, "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." And notice what he says. He says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Now, I want to look at the verb tenses here. And I want you to pay close attention to what it says. This isn't Fred. This is not Fred's opinion. This is what God says. God says, "I have given," past tense, "he has given us eternal life. And that life, that eternal life, is in his Son. And he who has the Son has," present tense, "life." What kind of life? Eternal life. "And he who does not have the Son does not have life." Now, I want to ask each one of you here today, are you in his Son? Do you have his Son? Because he who has his Son has life. The one who is in his Son has eternal life. Are you in his Son? If you are, you have life. If you are not, then you don't have that life. And he says, "I'm writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know it." That you may know what? That you may know that you have, present tense, not future tense, present tense, you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Notice that all of these tenses here in this verse, in this text, are either past tense, God has given us eternal life, or that you and I, if we are in his Son, if we have the Son, we have eternal life. You know what I hear? I hear, "Oh, well, eternal life way out there." That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. I want to consider three questions that that might bring up. One is, what are the conditions for obtaining that life? Secondly, I'd like to consider the question, how is it possible for you and I to have this life now? And thirdly, and maybe the most important question is, what are the implications of that for us today? So let's begin with the question, how does one obtain this life? Because he said in verse 11, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Okay, so if this life is in his Son, then that implies, or it brings up another question, how do I get into his Son? Well, if I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible tells me there that all who are in Christ, that's being in the Son, all who are in Christ are a new creation. Look at that text. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Well, that doesn't tell me how to get in Christ, but it does tell me something. It tells me that when I'm in Christ, all things that were of the old have passed away, and everything becomes new. Well, let's turn over for just a moment and look at what Paul wrote by the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 and 27. He said in verse 26, he said, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Now, a lot of people want to stop there. And they say, well, all you got to do is believe. Well, if you understand the biblical definition of faith, that's true. Because the biblical definition of faith is that we believe something and we act on it. And so if I have faith in Christ, I'm a son of God. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. See, there's the action that is coupled with this mental belief. And that is that when I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to do what God tells me to do, like he did in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. As he told through Peter, the people asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And he said, "You need to repent and you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." He says, if you have faith in Jesus Christ and are baptized, he says, you have put on Christ. Now, I was fortunate enough growing up. Some of you asked me this morning where I was raised. I was raised in Tampa, Florida. And in the day that I was being raised back then, some of these old preachers were still hanging around. Used to love to hear some of these guys. James P. Miller, some of you may have heard his name. He is an old-time preacher, and he is one of these down-to-earth guys. And he would take a verse like verse 26, and he'd make a practical application. He said, you know, he said, when I get up in the morning time, I get out of bed and I put on my pants. And he said, now when I put on my pants, I'm in my pants, right? Makes sense? So when you are baptized and you put on Christ, you are in Christ, right? And John says that those of us who are in Christ, what did he say back there in chapter 5? When you're in Christ, you have life. Romans chapter 6 talks about this idea of coming into Christ as well. In verse 3 and 4, Paul was writing there and he said, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also should walk in newness of life. And so when an individual is baptized, they are baptized into Christ. They put on Christ. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that if you're in the Son, you have life. But getting into the Son is not the end of the story. I have to continue, as John encouraged these brethren, I have to continue to walk in God's Word. 1 John chapter 2, going back to chapter 2 and verse 3 and through 5, he said, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word," that word there, keeps, is a continual process. It's an ongoing process. "The one who keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know we are in him." And going back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23 through 25, "Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning." They heard the word. They heard the gospel. "Let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you," that's a continual process, guess what? "You also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And if you're in the Son, what do you have? You have life." Going back to the original text, John said at the end of that text in verse 13, he said, "I want you to know that you have eternal life. But I also need you to understand that you need to continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." It's a continual process. It's a continual walk in his word that keeps us in his Son. But you know, probably the thing that troubled me most when I was looking at this was this idea of eternal life now. But then I started looking at the Gospel of John, and I started looking at what my Lord said, and it's like the light bulb came on. It's like, why didn't I see this before? Why didn't I listen to the Lord before? Because it was always there, and all of a sudden, you know, there it was. I saw it. But I want you to look at some of these texts with me today. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, I want you to understand these are the words of Jesus. And this is what Jesus said on this occasion in John 5 and 24. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me," what's he say? "Has everlasting life." Notice, he didn't say, "You will have out there in the future." He said, "If you believe in my word and believe in him who sent me, you have the one who," if you believe in him who has sent me, "has," that individual has eternal life and shall not come into judgment. Notice what he says, "but has passed," past tense, "from death into life." So when you and I believe in the one who sent Jesus, And we hear his word, that means obeys it. We obey it. It says that we have eternal life, we have everlasting life, and we, when at the point where we do this, we pass from death, spiritual death, into life. But I want you to pay attention to Jesus. He says that when we believe in the one who sent him, we have eternal life. Well, I said, well, yeah, okay. Look at chapter 6. Jesus didn't say this one time. Look at chapter 6 and verse 47. Jesus said there, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, some translations just says, he who believes. Notice what happens. When you believe, he said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. He didn't say, will have. He said, you have, present tense. You have everlasting life. Chapter 8, verse 51, listen to Jesus again. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, there's that continual walk in his word. If anyone keeps my word, he shall what? Never see death. Does that mean you'll never die physically? No. I mean that. The Bible tells us just the opposite. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. We're all going to die. Unless Jesus comes back while we're alive, we'll be changed. But I want you to think about what Jesus said here. He said, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. He's talking about spiritual death. What is it? What's another term? If you'll never see death, that's called eternal life, right? That's called everlasting life, right? Jesus said, if you keep my word, you'll never see death. You have everlasting life. Look at chapter 11. In chapter 11, we have there the record of the death of Lazarus. And Jesus comes after Lazarus has already been put into the grave. And in chapter 11, verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, look at verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he die, he says, he shall live. Well, Jesus is talking about there the physical death. And he says, even if you die, he says, you will live. Now, I want to read from a different translation here, and I believe that I pulled this out of the American Standard. It said, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And so you may die physically, Jesus said, but you'll keep living. And notice what he said in verse 26. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The word there, live, talks about the spiritual life that we have in Christ. The one who lives and believes in me shall never die. What's that? That's eternal life. I'm not going to go back and read all again, 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. We've looked at those texts, and chapter 5, 11 and 13, we've looked at those. But look at chapter 5 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true. Notice we're in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus said, or John says, when we are in His Son, we have everlasting life. And He says, I'm writing to you that you may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true. And if you're in Him, John says, you have everlasting life. Now, I think it's important for us to understand how that works. And I want you to look at the chart that I have here. And I want you to think about it. You know, we're born at some point in time, in this spectrum of time that we live in. And then when you and I sin, by our sin we are separated from God. That's what the book of Isaiah tells us, that our sins separate us from God. And so now I die to God spiritually. The word die or death means separation. So I'm separated from God because of my sin. And at some point, when I hear the gospel and I'm baptized, what does the Bible tell me? The Bible tells me that I am raised to walk in a new life, right? I have spiritual life. And as long as I'm walking and abiding in His Word, what did Jesus say? The one who abides in me will never die, will never see death. Oh, He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. And so, I'm going to die physically, but if I'm walking, if I'm in the Son and I'm walking in His Word and abiding in His Word, I've got that eternal life right now, and it's going to continue uninterrupted throughout eternity. That's what the Bible says. But you know, I don't hear that. I don't hear it out of the mouths of preachers. I don't hear it out of the mouth of Christians. I talk to so many Christians. And they said, I don't know if I'm going to ever make it to heaven. I don't know if I'm good enough to go to heaven. I'll tell you what. If you're good enough to go to heaven, stand up. Anybody? I need to sit down. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. But by the grace of God, and by the blood of Jesus, and by His mercy and His love, He's given me life in His Son. And I have that eternal life right now. And the Bible says you can know that you know Him. And you can know that you're in Him. And you can know that you have everlasting life. There's people out there that's going to try to rock you. They're going to try to rock your faith. You don't need to worry. How do you know if you know God? If you're keeping His Word. How do you know you're in Him? By the fact that you're keeping His Word, abiding in His Word, that you've done what He told you to do, to have that forgiveness. And so we can have confidence as Christians. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have that confidence, you just lost two other things with it. You lost your peace.
Because you can't have peace if you're wondering about, am I going to heaven? Am I going to make it? There ain't no peace there. And it just stole your joy because you can't rejoice in salvation that you're not sure of. But if you know that you have life, if you know that you have salvation, that you have everlasting life right now because I'm in the Son, then I have confidence and I have peace and I have joy because I'm saved.
You see, heaven's not some kind of a myth. Heaven's not some kind of a way out distant goal that maybe I'll make it there. Maybe I won't. God said you have it. Right now. And if I know that, wow, what kind of motivation should that give me to serve God? You see, I'm going to tell you, most of us when we're young, we have these visions of grandeur. Oh, I'd love to be a billionaire. Well, it didn't take me very long as I was getting a little bit more mature and understanding life and the world. It didn't take me very long to figure out I was never going to be a millionaire. So if I know in my mind I'm not going to be a millionaire, how hard am I going to work to get $1 million? I'm not going to work very hard because I know I'm just running myself into a wall. It's not going to happen. But if you know that you have everlasting life, and the way to keep holding on to it is simply to walk this path that God has set in His Word and to abide in His Word and to abide in His Son, what motivation that should give us. Because I have it now. And I certainly don't want to give it up, do I? If you had $1 million in your hand, would you just go, okay. Ain't no way. You'd be hanging on to it, right? And so, what I'm saying, brethren, is we need to look at what God has said. He has told us, Jesus Himself told us, that if you believe in Him, and if you believe in the one who sent Him, and if you abide in His Word, you will never see death. You have everlasting life. And all you have to do is just keep holding on to it. And the way to hold on to it is right here. Just follow it. You see, that goes back to what we were talking about in class. God's not out there trying to stick His foot out so you'll fall over it. He's not trying to trip you up. He's not trying to find a way to send you to hell. He's done everything within His power without taking away your free will to make it possible for you to have this everlasting life. That's why we talked about His love for us this morning. His love for us prompted that sacrifice that we commemorated today in the Lord's Supper. That sacrifice that provided forgiveness of our sins. And He desires, and He wants to be with you. And He wants you to be with Him in heaven for all eternity. But you know, as we conclude our lesson today, it is a crying shame that God is holding out a gift. He's holding out the gift of everlasting life. And it's to all of us. What a shame not to accept that gift. I don't have my car keys with me. But you know, if I said to you today, here's my keys, you can have that truck out there that belongs to us. If I really meant that, and you said, nah, everybody goes, what? He's offering you a free truck. But you know what? You can even believe that I would give you that truck. But if you don't take the keys, it ain't going to do you any good, right? God's offering life. John 3:16 says He loved you and me so much that He gave His Son to die for us. He wants you to be saved. Romans 6 and 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift that God is giving to us and offering to us is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're not a Christian, today God is offering you that gift. And He says, all you have to do is believe that I sent my Son to this earth and that He gave Himself as that perfect sacrifice on Calvary so that your sins and mine can be forgiven, and to confess that faith in Him and repent and say, yes, God, whatever You ask me to do, I'm going to do it. And one of the things He says to do, to become His son or His daughter and to be put into Christ, as we've already read, is to be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. What a shame it would be if you're not a Christian to walk out of here today and not to accept such a beautiful gift. But you know, there's a greater tragedy than that. And that is, it's even a greater tragedy when you and I, as a child of God, who holds eternal life, when we walk away and set it down. If you're a child of God and you're not walking in His Word, you're jeopardizing the gift that God has given to you. But He loves you. And He says in 1 John chapter 1, if you're willing to confess your sin to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But today, brethren, as we think about the lesson, what I want you to realize is this. I want you to realize that we can know that we know God. We can know that we have eternal life. And we can hold on to it, and nothing can take it away from us. Romans chapter 8 says, there is not a power on this earth or in the spiritual realm that can remove you or me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so we should have motivation and confidence and joy and peace. And that should be contagious as we go out and share the message of Jesus with others. Today, if you have a spiritual need, why don't you come? Let us know what your needs are. Even now, while we stand and encourage you to do so. Come to the front.